Well, let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. You have a handout there, of which I've got all the verses on it, and some of the different translations from other. I just felt other places the certain verses were translated better. But we'll start in Isaiah 55. We're going to look at the words of God, and then the words of man. So Isaiah 55 is where we'll start, and that's verse 8. 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." One translation has it, "For my plans," God's plans, "are not your plans. Neither are your ways my way, says the Lord." I kind of like that, that God's in charge, not man. "For my thoughts or my plans are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my way, says the Lord. For as the heavens truly are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are plans than your thoughts are plans. For as the rain comes down, the snow from heaven," and get ready for snow, George. It's really not that bad, but you're up closer to the mountain, so you'll get more than the city. "For as the rain comes down and the snow comes down from heaven, and returns not thither, but it waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It will achieve the end for which God set it into being, into purpose." So, God's word on your handout there, God's word communicates then his thoughts, his ways, and his plans. But it accomplished what God pleases, and it prospers where God sends it. So last week we looked at getting in alignment with God's plans and God's thoughts and God's way, aligning our life up that way. But look at Psalm 18. Let's we know that God really lives up on top of Pike's Peak. He's got a big beard and all. No, okay, no, maybe. I love the way the world, you know, says that's where the wise person is, away from everybody. That's probably not too bad. But he gave us his word to communicate with us. Psalm 18:30, we read, "As for God, his way is perfect." End of argument. You know? "As for God, his way, his plan, his thoughts, that's perfection. The word of the Lord is tried." Basically, it's flawless, is how one translation has it. The word of the Lord is flawless. The word of the Lord is flawless. It's perfect. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Now, George, I don't know if you've had sword and shield training yet, but that's probably not how we fight today. But back then, the small buckler was a small shield that was used as a defensive weapon, but also the pointy thing in the middle, it was used as an offensive weapon. So God can be and will take care of all who trust in him. He's veritable. He's at that little shield. See, the word of God has stood the test of time. All those who have worked on it have learned of its great purity, wholesomeness, and its integrity. God's word is perfect, flawless, and it's purified. Look at Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, we'll see some more great attributes here dealing with his word. 119:138. And we read, "Thy testimonies," 119:138, "Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." Wow. They're fully trustworthy is what they are. So this word is fully trustworthy. But look at 151. 119:151. "Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truths." They're true. This word is true. A lot more than this being a political year. A lot of political promises. God's word is what's true. All right, look at 160. "The word is true from the beginning." 119:160. "The word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments are eternal." They're there forever. Every one of the righteous judgments, they're there eternally. They work all the time, whether you lived in the last century, 2,000 years ago, or today. God's word continues to work. Now look at verse 9, 119:9 now. See, God's word then is the true way to go. It's trustworthy. we align our thoughts and our plans with it. And in 119:9, George, I have a question for you. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Basically, you know, how can a young man keep his way pure? That's what it's asking. And a lot of people ask that question a lot. A lot of mothers ask that about their sons. Sonny? All right, how? Simple. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. There it is. Taking heed according to the word. And do it with all your heart. You know, the psalmist is saying, with all my heart then, I sought the word. Oh, let me not wander or stray from thy commandments. And oh, it's easy. Lots of ways out there. Lots of neon lights going, strange woman, you know. We've been working a lot of Proverbs, and it's used in Proverbs as an alternate way of thinking. God is your first love, but the alternate way of thinking is out there, especially being in the colleges. They throw a lot of alternate ways of thinking out there. So you got to stay true to your first love, the Word of God. So that's why then, verse 11, the young man will need to put the word and hide it in his heart. Hide the word in your heart so you won't sin against it. You'll know what's right, and you won't go down the wrong roads of the alternate way of thinking. So in your handout there, how can a young man keep his way pure? By holding on to God's word. The Tanakh is the Jewish translation of the Bible, and I've got verse 11 here. It says, in my heart I treasure your promise, therefore, I do not sin against you. I treasure this. This is treasure. And there's so many people in the world who are so lost because they don't know the word. They don't treasure the word like they should. Look at John. Go to the Gospel of John. John 15. And we'll start in verse 3. Actually, we're just going to do one verse. Well, actually, we'll do three verses here. John 15, 3. Now you are clean, how? Through the word, which I have spoken unto you. You want to stay purified? Stick to the word. That's what will help you stay clean, stay purified, and then abide in me. You know, when you abide someplace, you stay there for a while. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no man, no more can you, except you abide in me. Stick to Christ, not Buddha. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do a lot.
Nothing.
Without me, without the accomplished work of Jesus Christ, what good are your works? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely. All right. Now, Luke 4, this will be the last verse of the first part, knowing that God is trustworthy, his word is truth, we can lock into it, and then we're going to see what it says specifically about us using our mouths, which will all of us, by the time it's over with, will go walk away peacefully out of here without wanting to say too much. All right, Luke 4:32. And they were astonished at Christ's doctrine, for his word was one with authority, with power. They went, whoa, well, you know how it is when you've heard something, you just go, whoa, where did that come from? You know, they showed up ready to sleep through another dull meeting at the synagogue, and instead Jesus was there, and he let it out. And they went, whoa, haven't heard that before. They were astonished. They were amazed at his teaching of the word of God, because his words had power, authority, meaning, decisions, help to it. So, they meant something. All right, Hebrews 4:12. I like. We have to do one more verse before we go to the next part. Hebrews 4:12, again, very familiar scripture to all of you Bible buffs. All right, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is alive. It's quick. It's sharp. It's powerful. And it's sharper, or it's keener. The word of God is keener than any two-edged sword. Pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. One text reads, piercing even to the dividing of life and immortal spirit, which I thought was really intriguing. You know, from life to spiritual life, that it discerns between the two, because Christ is the gap between the two. And of the joints and marrow, and it's a discerner or a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's a critic or a discerner of the pondering and meditations of the heart, which I thought was interesting. You know? So our attitude towards God's word, again, determines our spirituality. Our attitude towards God's word determines the type of impact this will have on our lives. Is it just another book? Or is it the book above all books? No word from God shall be void of authority. Man may speak powerless words, but God's word isn't without power. So, what about our words then? Matthew 12. So now, this is the second part. We can align ourselves with the word and say it is written, or we can go, I think, and people go, we don't care. What does it say?
The word say.
Exactly. Matthew 12 and we'll 34. Matthew 12, 34. Oh, generation of vipers, I hope this isn't addressed directly to you. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. I've got the 20th century New Testament translation there, and it says, for what fills the heart will rise to the lips. Isn't that good?
Yes.
That's the Jehovah's Witness Bible. The 20th century New Testament's theirs. Well, the Tanakh is the Jewish Bible, and then, you know, you've got American Bible Standard. That's the Catholic one. So anyway, a lot of it, you see, there are different schools of thought coming from different places. But anyway, that's really true. For what fills the heart will rise to the lips. And so it's going to encourage us in verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth good things. But an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle, careless, thoughtless word that men shall speak. Now, none of us fall into that, I'm sure. Unfortunately, we may fall into that one too much. Yeah. But, you know, it counts nothing in the day of judgment. They're worthless. There's no rewards for idle, careless, thoughtless words that don't line up with the word of God. For by thy words thou shalt be acquitted, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Which is interesting. So, who's speaking now? We are. Jesus is telling us, you know, you better watch what you're saying. And surprisingly, there's a lot about that in the Bible. Not really surprisingly. Okay, here, in your handout there, Proverbs 12, 13, and 14 is from the Moffat translation. And Moffat translates these as, by sins of the lips, bad men get into trouble. But good men get out of trouble. A man reaps the result of all his words, and he must answer for his deeds. Our words can either ensnare us or deliver us. You will reap the results of your words. So what kind of harvest do you want? Proverbs 18 from Moffat, verses 20 and 21 says, a man must answer for his utterances and take the consequences of his words. Death and life are determined by the tongue. The talkative must take the consequences. You hear that, Liz? Keep your mouth shut. Mom's always right. Okay, now you know that. Oh, anyway. These verses show again how much power our tongue has over lives. If you live to talk, then you better listen to what you're saying. We need a little of the wisdom of God to help us direct our words better. Ecclesiastes 10, 12 to 14. I again thought Moffat did a very good way of translating this. The words of wise men win them favor, but a fool's lips are his ruin. His words are folly from the start, and they end in mad mischief. His words are just folly, you know. They end in mad mischief. A fool prates on and on. Even the stupid are weary of his fussiness. I just think I like the way that sounded, so I put that in.
A lot of truth.
Yeah, I mean, even the fool gets tired of listening to another fool. A fool pummels the listener with dull words. A fool thinks he needs to use a great abundance of words in order to get something accomplished. Look at the next, yeah, page 2 is on the other side. Alright. Go to Ecclesiastes, though. We need to read this in King James. And then Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 5.
Right there?
Yeah. And verse 2, I think we can get it pretty good from King James, Ecclesiastes 5, 2 and 3. Because we can shoot ourselves in the foot many times over by opening our mouths. Ecclesiastes 5, 2 says, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and you're on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words." And the Moffat translates that, "So many words mean that a fool is talking." You know, just some people just like to hear themselves talk, and they go on and on, and they just, you know, it's, and so you recognize right away the Bible calls them, they're fools. And unfortunately, there are many in the world. So don't be a fool. It's a great way to recognize a fool. Then it'd be, you know, if that is a great way to recognize a fool, then it behooves us to not only watch what we say, but also maybe how long it takes us to say it. Proverbs 10, right there in your handout, this is from the NIV, verses 19 and 20 says, "When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. If the wicked man's heart is of little worth, what value should be placed on his words? Well, very little. We cannot separate a man's tongue from his heart." Proverbs 17, 27 and 28, New International Version says, "A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue." So if a fool desires to be mistaken for a wise man, all he needs to do is keep silent. But somehow they don't. Go to Psalm in our Bible, Psalm 141. So many verses on this subject. I'm just going to touch on a few of them. But it's a big subject that we all need to heed. Maybe all of us do. Maybe all is too strong a word. Maybe just me. Psalm 141:3. "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, or over my mouth. Guard the door of my lips." So David is praying to God, going, "Help me keep my mouth shut." "Set a watch over my mouth. Guard the door of my lips." David prayed for help in guarding the door of the lips. Maybe we should too, huh? All right, look at Proverbs 15. Psalm Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse 1. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, or a gentle response turns away wrath. But grievous words," you know, "provoking words will stir up anger." Grievous is the word for harsh. "Harsh words provoke anger." You can either go mano a mano, you know, or a soft answer, a gentle answer, a gentle reply. It just diffuses the situation. Mm-hmm. Then you can really get something accomplished. Talk things out. It's okay if you differ. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as when it comes to the word, we don't have to differ. But a gentle response turns away wrath, but harsh words provoke anger. So you could, I suppose, add the word testosterone in there. Just leave that there. "The tongue of the wise uses knowledge," or "the tongue of the wise provides much knowledge," rather. "The tongue of the wise produces much knowledge." Can't read my own writing. "The tongue of the wise produces much knowledge, but the mouth of fools pours out," or gushes out, "foolishness," or folly. So, does your tongue speak wisdom, or are you the mouth of a fool and just gushing folly and foolishness coming out? And you just gushes, too. That's a great way to look, at it. Here it comes! No! "Foolish talk gushes out of a man of folly, but a wise man knows how to use words rightly to impart knowledge. The fool's own words are entangling and destroying his life, and yet he usually goes around and blames everyone else for his problems." A wise man knows how to have the right word at the right time to meet the need in the situation. Proverbs 15:23, the NIV says, "A man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word." You know, when there's a need and you got the right word at the right time to help. You just it's great. You feel, you know, yeah, that's good. How can we know what the right word is at the right time? Well, remember that the wisdom of God is profitable to direct. So we need to understand the wisdom of God, and it's profitable to direct so that we have the right word at the right time. The Tanakh version of Proverbs 12:25 says, "If there is anxiety in a man's mind, let him quash it and turn it into joy with a good word." Wow. You know, you get anxious at times, and you need a good word. So quash the anxiety and turn it to joy with the right word at the right time from God's word. The New English Bible in Proverbs 10:32 says, "The righteous man can suit his words to the occasion." Now that's a man of wisdom, you know, a learned man. He can suit his words to the occasion. And then let's go to Psalm 34. This will be the last verse we'll have to look up. So I think God is very concerned about what we speak, because we can bring joy or we can bring problems to ourselves and others. We really don't want to give wrong wisdom. Psalm 34:12. And we don't want to say God says when God doesn't say either. Psalm 34:12 says, "What man is he that desires life and loves many days that he may see good?" Well, that's all of us. We all want to desire life. We want to love many days. We want to have good fortune. We want to have great years. We want to see good. So how do we do that? Next verse. "So keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking lies or guile." So if you want to have a good life, watch what you say. Consider what you say. That's a big part of it. And finally, in your hands, well, let's see. Here is God's advice. If we desire life, if we desire to see many good days, years of good fortune, and to keep ourselves from calamity, and we ignore it at our own peril, what it says here. Verse 14, "Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, pursue it." So that's great. And finally, the NIV in James 1:19-20 on your handout says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." Mm-hmm. So let's close with prayer. Father, thank you for your word and your word and your word, and that we can align our thoughts and plans and our mouth with your word and live it to the best of our ability so we can glorify you. We're thankful, Father, for, again, all the great things you've given us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.